Begin the current daf, Masech this Erech and Daf Lamed. Begin 10 lines down with the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues to explain the halach of our previous Mishnah, which we spoke about, opening up this parak regarding someone who makes a sale of his ancestral field at a time when Yevil applies. He cannot redeem it less than 2 years, where it says that the buyer, has to have at least 2 years' worth of produce. On that, the Mishnah qualified, however, as our Gemara quotes, but if, let's say, is a year where there was wind blast, there were certain conditions that made it impossible to plant, that's not counted for the 2 years, it has to be 2 years' worth of planting. However, the Mishnah continued, etc., where it said, but let's say it was able to be planted, he just didn't, he either plowed it or he just left it fallow, he didn't do anything with it, then it is counted towards the 2 years, that's his loss, he could have planted, he just didn't. Which the Gemara asks, if you're saying, if he leaves it just fallow, he doesn't do anything with it, it's counted for his 2 years because he was able to. So Nar Mibaydu, does the Mishnah have to first say if he plowed it that it's going to be counted? Of course, he even did work towards the plantation. Of course, that he got some utility out of it, let's say for the next year, that it produced a certain thing. Why do we have to say that case if we said if you do nothing, it's counted? Says the Gemara, Nar Itzrochle, there was something necessary in that case of plowing that we have to say that it's counted towards the 2 years. Because Sogat Etachimini Yudah thought to say, okay, I meanly, we tell him, Havli Dame. Okay, you're right, it's counted towards the 2 years because he could have planted. But at least give him the benefit of his plowing because he didn't get produce from it. So although it's counted towards the 2 years, but at least compensate him for his plowing and Valesik and then remove him. Kamash Malan, they were saying, no, you get 2 years are up, he gets it back. You could have planted 2 years, you didn't, you plowed. It's the buyer's loss and it goes back to the seller. Now, the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Eliezer, he says, if the seller sold him right before Rosh Hashanah, which is a time when the produce is all there, and he left it, he didn't reap it, Pesach time, Shavuos time, it's there, and he sells it to him, so then it's going to be a situation where he's going to get 3 years' worth of produce in 2 years. As the Gemara elaborates, Tanya Lindner Brysa. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Minayin, from where do we know, if the seller sold him with the full, he needed money, he was desperate. He had the produce all ready to be reaped. He just didn't. He sold him forward produce. From where do we know, that now the seller who's coming to redeem it after 2 years, he finally gained some money, and he cannot tell to the buyer, look, hanach lefanai, leave for me the field full of produce, because the 2 years, it's like exactly the same time when he had sold him was full of produce. Now it's full of produce again. Leave it for me, like I left in front of you. When I sold it to you, it's full of produce. Don't go ahead and reap it now, and I'm going to lose that value of the produce. How do we know that he cannot say that? That's what the Pasuk teaches. The misper shnei tevois yimachalach. In the counting of the years of produce that he sold it to you, which that sounds like all produce in those 2 years is included in that sale. Meaning, it could have said misper shanim, in the counting of the years, or misper tevu is the counting of the produce, which that would have sounded like the minimum is 2. Why does it say misper shnei tevuis yimachlach? Pa'am shadam oichal shalish tevuis b'shtei shanim, because sometimes a person could have actually 3 years worth of produce in 2 years. How so? Every year you only get 1 year worth of produce. It's because if he sold it with it full, and you got that one, then you have a year, and then the second year, and now it's full, you go ahead and you reap it quickly before you give it back. That's all his ability, doesn't have to give it back or to fulfill the way he got it, and therefore he's going to get 3 years worth of produce in 2 years, as he said in the Mishnah. Now, continuing on these halachas of our parak of the previous Mishnah regarding Hamoicha Sedeu, someone who sells his ancestral field, the Mishnah describes the following circumstance in halacha. Machra l'rishon b'mana. So if the seller, the owner of the ancestral field, sells it to the first buyer for a mana, call that 100. Umachra rishon l'sheni b'mesayim, and then the first one sells it to the second one for 200. Says the Mishnah, Eina Mechashev, the seller does not calculate when he's coming to redeem it, Ela Im HaRishon, only with the first one, meaning he calculates how many years from when he sold it was there until Yovel, and then he calculates how much from that 100 is proportionally according to every year, and according to that calculation, he's going to take off from the buyer every year that he consumed it, and that excess that he didn't use yet is, well, he'll pay him back to get his field back. How do we know this? Shnilek, it says the Pasuk in Be'yikra. It says, he gives back the excess to the person. What's that? To the man that he sold it to, which this pasuk is told by someone who's redeeming his field that he sold. So you see, it's to that person that he sold it to. And since, even though the second one bought it for 200, but he sold it to the guy of 100, so that's the rate he has to go and redeem it accordingly. Now, flip side, let's say he sold it to the first one for 200. Now the second buyer who has it now, he bought it from the first one for a lower price, for 100. Says the Mishnah, Eina Machashav El Ma'achrin. Now we're going to go again leniently. The seller is only going to calculate with the second one who has it for the cheaper rate. Shlema, because it says it within that same pasuk. It says v'chishev eshnei mimkarei. He calculates the years of his sale. And what does the pasuk say? V'heishev eshoidif le'ish. He returns the excess to the man. Which man are we talking about? Le'ish ashebetoicha, the person that's inside the field right now, who he bought it for a cheaper price, and that's how you have to calculate according to his cheaper price. Which the Gemara is going to ask, how do we know to expound both cases, whichever one is more lenient? Rather, we should expound it as a stringency. He actually has to redeem it at the higher rate. How do we know? Like our Mishnah says, we're going to interpret it for the more lenient interpretation for the seller. Now, additional halachas are layimke barachik. A person cannot sell his field that's very far away so that v'yigal b'karv, so that he could go ahead and redeem a field that's nearby. I think I'm going to explain why that is so. But if he wants to have a field nearby and he has a field, he cannot sell that field to have money to redeem the one nearby. So to Barav Yigal B'Yafa, he can't sell a bad field so that he can redeem a good field which he had sold to buy that one back. And also Vala Yilva, he's not allowed to borrow money with the intention of redemption, V'Yigal, and to redeem. It has to be that he has money. And Vala Yigal Chatzayin, he can't redeem halfway. If you can redeem the field after 2 years, but it's got to be the whole thing, not half it. Now, we can, however, says the Mishnah, Behektish, but regarding Hektish, where someone's Makdish something and he wants to redeem it back, Mutabakul, and all these things are permitted. So if someone sanctifies his field, he's allowed to sell a different field to go ahead and get it, redeem it from Hektish. He's allowed to borrow money to redeem it. He's allowed to redeem it halfway. So let's say if he doesn't have enough money to redeem the whole thing, he redeems half of it. And when he has, he could then redeem the rest. And as the Mishnah says, Zerachem Behedim and Behektish, these laws are stringencies that apply to a commoner, meaning selling to another person, which has all these limitations, more than Hektish, which we said doesn't have these limitations. Tarnbaum Linda Bryce, elaborating the halacha of our Mishnah, the opening halacha, which is actually machlekes in this Bryce, the opening opinion is like the Tana of our Mishnah. Machra l'rishon b'mana. If the seller sold to the first one for 100, a machra l'rishon b'mesayim, the second one sold to the second one for 200, minayin she'ed machashav el marishon. How do you know he only calculates with the lower rate of the first person? Because you then do proportionally according to that 100 per year. Tamalem, that's supposed to teach his le'isha shemachul to the person that he sold that he sold it to. The person that he sold to was for 100, that's what he calculates. Machal Rishon b'Masayim, let's say he sold to the first one for 200, Machal Rishon l'Shein b'Mana, and then the first one sold to the second one for 100. So the one who bought it for 100 is in the field right now. Says the Braisa, Minayin Shein Mechashme Elim Mashein, how do you know that he only calculates the lower rate of the second one who's in the field right now? Tamalem Ish, says he give it to the person. Which person? Le'isha Shabbatayicha, the first buyer is out of the picture already. Who is he giving money to buy back from the second one, the one that's in there right now, which is a cheaper rate? That's Divi Rabbi, like again, according to the anonymous opinion of our Mishnah. However, Distoy bin Yehuda, he says a different interpretation. It says, Machulay b'mana, if a person sold it to the buyer for 100, Vishbicha, and then by itself it went up in price. Vamdal Masayim, now it actually fetches a price of 200. Minayin shein mechashav el b'mana, how do you know that you only calculate according to the original sale price? Shnemaka says in the pasuk v'heishav esa'idiv, he gives back the excess. What excess? Ha'idiv shebiyadai, the excess that's in his hand, meaning the money that's left over from the money that he received after you deduct the amount of that the buyer had used for the proportionally for those years. That excess money is what he gives back to the buyer. Therefore, that's for 100, not the going price right now of 200. However, let's say the other way. Machulei b'mesayim. Let's say he sold him for a price of 200. V'chsifa, and then it got ruined and the value went down. V'amda al-mana, now it's actually worth 100. Minayin shei mechashvei el b'mana. How do you know that the calculations actually go according to the current sale price, not according to the initial sale price? Shnemak says in the pasuk, v'heishav esa'idiv, he returns the excess. What excess? Ha'idiv shebekarka. The excess that the land is worth more according to the calculation when you diminish how much the buyer had used in those years. Because as Rashi explains, which is going to be the Gemara's question, that this excess, you could expound the excess that he has in his hand, which is the original sale price, or it could be the excess in the value of the land right now, how much he's not using it, how much it was originally for in the total amount of the years. So you go with the price right now, which is 100, and that you'll do proportionally, not the original sale price of 200. Now the Gemara first asks, my benayo, what is the practical difference between these two opinions of Rebbe and Reb Daisa, although one's saying with two buyers and one's saying with two different sale prices and values, but they're both saying similarly the same thing, that you go as a leniency for the seller? So the Gemara, for example, in the case of the Yaker, Vizol, Vayaker, where it was a high price, it went down, and then it was a high price again. Where specifically the case is, let's say that someone sells it to the buyer for 200, it goes down in price, now the first one sells it to the second one for for 100, and then in the hand of the second person, it goes back up to 200. So according to Rebbe, that he says, he learns out from Le'ish, that when do you get the cheaper price of the second one? Because it says, to the person that's in there right now, according to him, you're only going to give 100, which is how much the second person had paid for it. So you go according to that person, but that which he paid 100 for. And he doesn't have to do the 200 of how much he had sold it to the first one. But according to Reb Destoy, you're going to give 200. Why? Because if you say, there was two interpretations we said of Oidif, the excess, which is said either way we'll do a leniency, but here both are going to come out to be 200. If you say the Oidif Sheba Yadai, how much from the original sale price? Well, that was 200. And if you're going to say Oidif Sheba Karka, the excess in how much the land is worth right now, it's also worth 200 right now. So therefore, according to Reb Destoy, it's going to be 200. According to Reb, it's going to be 100. But be that as it may, the Gemara asks on both of them. How do you know to interpret that whatever the sale is, you'll go leniently for the seller? Maybe you should go stringently. You have these interpretations, either whether it be la'idif or whether it be the different psukim in that pasuk, you could interpret it either way. Why are you saying as a leniency and not as a stringency? He cannot entertain that when this person wants to redeem his field back, that you would go stringently. Rather, it's obviously we go leniently. Why? Because the gemara gu'ula gu'ula me'evet ivri, we learn out the halacha of redemption over here, from the laws of redemption from the Jewish slave. Here it says, Nemika Chafei Umatza Kadei Gulas. If he finds according to his redemption, it says by Eved Ivri, Gula Tilai, that he could also go ahead and will have a redemption, which, just like over there, is lenient, so too over here. Which the Gemara says, V'hasam and all, and how do we know over there by the Eved Ivri that his redemption, we also go in the more lenient interpretation? Because the Tanya, Lutna Braisa, similar type of a concept. Nimka B'mana, if the slave was sold for 100, Vishbiach V'amad al-Masayim, then he went up in price during his working period that he was a slave, and he's worth 200. Says the Braisa, Menayin She'im HaChashim El B'mana. How do you know that when he's coming to redeem himself, which he calculates according to how many years are left from the amount of time that he was sold, and he calculates that amount, and he breaks it up each one for that mana, for each year, how much it's going to be. So let's say 2 or 3 years passed, so he deducts, the master deducts from the calculation of how much he was sold for, how much he's going to have to pay back, like the pasuk says, kimei sachar ye'imai, like a hired laborer, you go accordingly to the years that's left. So, says the Braisam, how do you know that, let's say he was sold for 100, and now it's worth 200, you're only going to go with the original sale price of 100. Shem like says in the pasuk, mi kesef miknasi, from the amount of money that he was bought for, that's how much you'll rate it. So, since he was bought for 100, although he's worth 200 right now, you'll go with the money that he originally paid. Now, Nimka b'Masayim, if he was sold for 200, v'hichsev amal al-manah, then he went down the price during his slavery. And now he's only worth 100, and now he wants to redeem himself, let's say, halfway through the 6 years. Minayin shem echashmi al-manah, how do you know you don't calculate according to his current cheaper price? Shem like says the pasuk, kifi shanav. It says, according to his years, which sounds like according to the years that he's in right now. In other words, according to his current value, that's how you can evaluate. So therefore you see by Eved Ivri that we go more lenient, therefore we're going to say Gula Gula is going to say the same thing over here by the Steachuz of buying it back, we're also going to go with the more lenient, whichever one it is. Now, but continues the Braisa, Ve'enli Ele Eved Ivri Hanim Kol Eved Gachav. But from this pasuk, I would only know that this law applies to a Jewish slave that's sold to a non-Jew, because that's what this pasuk is, by a Jew that's sold to a non-Jew, like it says, V'chisas Gad Ger V'toysham. Maybe over there is where we would say, Shenigel V'yad Al Yonah. Where he's redeemed, then we go that the Jew has the upper hand, whichever one is cheaper, when he was sold or his current value. Nimkali Yisrael Menayin, but if he sold to a Jew, how do you know that the same leniency applies? Tamalei Masacha Sachal Gzeres Shavu, we have Gzeres Shavu where it says, Kimi Sachar Yi Imoi, in this pasuk when he sold to a non-Jew. And it says when he sold to a Jew, Kimishna Schas Sachar Avodcha Begayim Et Cetera, which therefore we say that just like over there he has those leniencies, so too over here. And again, we're learning out Gula Gula, to the halach of the steachuzah that the same thing is going to be. We're going to go according to either of the lenient interpretations. Now, relating to this interpretation of this halach of our Mishnah, Amar Abaye, so he says, his ketin tamid beis, he says, Hareini, I am praised in my place, which I'm such a proficient expositor, I know how to go ahead and darshan the Torah, ki ben azai, like ben azai, who was earlier than him, who also praised himself, b'shuki teferi, in the marketplace of teferi, and there, like the Gemara says, m'chayris, and nothing ches menal, ben azai would say, all the sages of the Jewish people are like me, like the skin of the garlic, except for Rabbi Kiva, and therefore, Abai was saying the same thing. So, amalei ha'umar rabban l'abaye, so one of the rabbis said to Abaye, yeah, I'll ask you a question. It says, Ikele Medrashinu, you could expound these psukim that we brought, which was the question we asked on the Steachuzah. We said, oh, we know Steachuzah from Eved Ivri. But that's what this rabbi was asking to Abaye. What do you mean? Those same psukim that you have by the Jewish slave, you could expound Lekula, leniency. Ikele Medrashinu Lechume, you could expound them as a stringency. Which one pasuk is saying kefishan, the one saying mekasa meknase. Mimai de lekula. How do you know over there where we're learning steachuz from that it's expounded leniently? Eimel chumra, say stringently. So that's the same question that we had asked, which we gave one interpretation. Now the Gemara is saying, Abai is going to say another interpretation. So it says, Abai, loisa gadaitich. You can't entertain to say that we're going to expound it as a stringency. Why? From the fact that the Torah is lenient by the Eved Ivri, because the Tanya, learn the Braisa. The Pasuk says in the Devarim, where it says that if the slave doesn't want to go free after the 6 years, he's going to say, ah, I don't want to leave, I love you, I love your family, because it was good for him by you. Now, why would a slave say it's good for him? Because the halacha is imach b'maychel, imach b'mishle. He has to be with you what you eat. He has to be with you what you drink. Shaloi tehei oichel pas nekiyah, that the master shouldn't be eating refined bread. V'oichel pas kibur, and that the slave is eating coarse bread. It can't be ata shesayayin yoshin, that you're drinking aged wine, which is better. V'ushesayayin chadish, he's drinking the inferior new wine. It can't be ata yoshin agabi meichel, that you're sleeping on top of comfortable bedding. V'uyoshin agabi karka, and he's sleeping on the ground. Mekan number from here is where it says that the halacha, hakoina eved ivri, someone buys a Jewish slave, it's kukoina odin la'atzma. It's like he acquired a master for himself because he's got to provide for him just as much as he has to provide for himself. So therefore, says Abai, you see how good it's for the slave. Obviously, we're lenient with him and we're not stringent with him, and therefore it can't be that to expound it as a stringency. And again, that's what we said in the Man Aleph. That's how we know the laws of steachuz. But to which the student asked, Adrab, to the contrary, Nachmalei, we should be stringent with the eved ivri. From his halacha, which obviously, how did he become to be sold as a Jewish slave? It's only because he's a wicked person, because he had dealt with merchandise of the Shemitah, which is forbidden to be done. And therefore, we should be stringent with him. Because the Amr B'Yisrael B'Chanina, he says, come and see, how harsh is the punishment of even just doing what's called the dust of the violations of a Shemitah year, which is someone that deals with Shemitah produce in business. That's what we're calling the dust, because that's not the primary prohibitions of the Shemitah year. Not a lot of plant or certain things, but dealing in the merchandise is just the dust of it, and yet still see how severe is the punishment. Adam, a person does business dealings, buying and selling with the Shemitah produce. L'saif, at the end, what happens is, meiches metatlov. He has to sell his movable items. Shnei like it says in Pasuk Meyikra. It says, b'shnas ha-yevul ha-zeis teshuvu ish al-chazase. It talks about the laws of Yevul, which are similar to the of Shemitah, which is, you can't go ahead and plant. Now, Yevul additionally has, like this Pasuk says, everyone goes back to their ancestral fields. Now, but it says in the pasuk after that, if you're going to sell something to your friend or you're going to buy something from him, we use the terminology of miyad, which tells us something that's bought where it goes from hand to hand, which is metal, movable items. So we're expounding these pesukim as smuchim, as with the proximity of these two pesukim, is saying that if you don't keep the mitzvah of yevul, at the end you're going to sell your movable items and all your utensils that you use. Loi hirgish, if the person doesn't pay attention, he doesn't shake from the fact that he has sinned to repent, at the end, he's going to go even further. He's going to have to sell his fields. Shnemek says it pasuk later on. It says, if your brother is going to become poor, and he's going to have to sell from his ancestral field. Continues the Braisa. Continues Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanin. It says, and it's not going to come to his hand, meaning, he's not even going to pay attention now anymore to even realize that he even sinned. Where Lasif Mechaz base, at the end he's going to have to sell his house. Shlomo says the pasuk later on, says V'ish ki yimkra base Moishem ir chayma, if a person is going to sell his house from the settled is city that has a wall, which is even more. All these are greater levels of depravity. Which the Gemara wonders in this teaching, Maishna hasan to kamalo higrish. Why was it the first step that it says that when he sells his immovable items, that if he's not going to pay attention, then he's going to end up even having to sell his fields. Why after that second stage, it says, well, this is not even going to come to his hand to even realize, and he's going to have to even end up selling his house. Why one does say that he doesn't realize, another one says not, he's totally unaware. Says, because Amar Rav Huna, he says, Kivin sha'adam avera v'shanaba. Once a person committed a sin and then he repeated it, we hear he already had a patch. He already realized that he's selling something. He should pay attention. And he did it again, then it's already hutroloi, becomes permitted for him. Which the question is, hutroloi, so what do you think? If a person commits a sin two times, it's permitted? Ela'ema rather means to say, nasis lekata, becomes to him like it's permitted, meaning he doesn't even realize like he did anything wrong. So therefore, in the beginning, when he only violated one time, and these are old problems where Hashem is sending the person messages. So it says, hirgish. He didn't pay attention, meaning he knew, but he didn't really focus on it to realize I'm doing something wrong. So he just didn't what's called chapatresel. He didn't shudder at what he did. But the second time it says, yeah, leibas liyadi, because he's not going to pay, no, even know that he even did anything wrong. Which the halacha continues, leibas liyadi, it's not going to come to where he's going to end up lesev shalava beribis, where he's going to end up borrowing on interest, because he's so desperate. Shalom says, the pasuk later on says, that if your brother's going to be poor, the next pasuk says, atikach mita neshach v'tabas, don't take from him with interest, which because he's going to be desperate, he's going to be borrowing hard loans, he's going to have to try to get money. It's going to come to such a situation where he's going to have to sell his daughter as a maidservant. Shalom says, the pasuk in Shemais, if a man's going to sell his daughter as a maidservant. Now, as the Gemara explains, even though everything we were describing in Batilna was a succession of psukim, which is showing the evolution of this person getting more and more desperate, and all starting because he dealt with Shemitah produce of selling it. Now, although this pasuk of selling one's daughter as a maidservant is not in those succession of psukim, it's in Sefer Shemais, but nichele inish the Lisbon Barati, it would obviously be more preferred for a person to sell his daughter as a maidservant, and not to go ahead and borrow on interest, where the concept of ribis is said over there in the succession of psukim. And that most definitely, however, had to have been preceded by the sale of his daughter, because for sure he would choose to sell his daughter as a maidservant before borrowing an interest. Why? Because the Elohasim over there would redeeming his daughter from working as a slave. Migrava Azla. It's something that it keeps on diminishing. Where generally when someone sells his daughter, she only sold as a maidservant until she reaches the age of 12. If it comes to redeem her within that amount of time, so he calculates the amount of time that she had worked each year, and that's how much gets diminished from the amount of money that he has to go ahead and pay back the buyer of the slave to be able to go ahead and get his daughter back. As the Brisa teaches in Kedushin of Yud Aleph Mem Aleph, which says Vehefta, which is that the owner has to help and assist in the redemption of the maidservant, which is, he says, okay, look, I bought for 3 years for $30, so then, okay, I already used for 1 year, now you only have to pay $20, or 2 years, $10. So it keeps on getting easier for the man who is desperate for money. But here by interest, it actually keeps on getting worse, because he's paying interest, and he keeps on digging himself up deeper, so therefore, for sure, if it's saying that he's going to end up borrowing an interest, he for sure would have already sold his daughter as a maidservant. But it continues. Lebas liyada doesn't come to his hand. Lasev shemeches atzmai. He ends up selling himself as a slave. Shemaik says a pasuk in Vayikra, but there later on that succession of psukim. Ki yamach echicha yamach v'nimkalach. If your brother's going to become poor with you and he's going to sell himself to you. Now, loy lacha eleger. Not only to you, but it's going to be even worse. It's going to be to the convert. Shemaik says in the pasuk later on leger. Now, but loy leger itself is not for the righteous convert who is like a full fledged Jew. Eleger toishav, rather to the resident convert who is a non-Jew, just he keeps the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Neich. Shemek says the Pasuk Liger Taisha. Now, additionally, the Pasuk says the Mishpach as Ger, he gets sold to the family of the convert, Zelev Kachavim. That's, those are non-Jews, because the family, he converted, but his family is not Jewish. Kishoimo Ele Eker, Mishpach as Ger, when it says to the Eker, that's even worse, the Hanimker Vinasa Misharis Labetz Kachav Matzma. That's someone who gets sold and becomes an attendant for the idol itself, which is he has to chop the wood and to draw the water. That's how bad his situation ends up being. But one thing we see that we punish, he gets punished, we're stringent with such a person. So to the contrary, whatever we should be machmer in the interpretation to have to give the higher level of the redemption and not the more lenient one like Abaye was saying. So Amaleh, Abaye said to that rabbi, he says, no, even so that we see that we were severe with the Eved Ivri, Ha'adre Kra. But the Pasuk brings him back, in other words, that we should have mercy and compassion, although he had done wrong, and that's why he had this situation. Because of a Tandre Bishmal, you would think that since this person went and now he sold himself even to work for the idol, that's how desperate he is. So I would say, throw the stone after the one who's falling. In other words, you should never redeem him anymore. That's the Pasuk teaches, which the Girsa is, redemption, this should be for him. One of his brothers should redeem him. Most definitely, you have to go ahead and help him out, and that is, we should be lenient with him, and you got to redeem him, and therefore, regarding his redemption, we are lenient in the interpretation, whether it be 100 or 200, it's always going to be the more lenient one, and not stringent. But the Gemara asks, how do you know that? Ema maybe say, yeah, you're right, gula tiyalai, like the Pasuk says, he should have a redemption. We got to get him out from being a slave to the idol, as a leniency. But that's only because delay the time by kachav, because we don't want him to get assimilated in the non-Jews with the idols. But really regarding his redemption, if he wants to pay his way out in general, we should be stringent on him. where if he sold for 100 and he gets increased in value, he should have to calculate according to the higher level of 200. Or if he sold to 200 and he goes down in value, you should calculate the original sale price of 200. Like it says, Mekaseh Beknasai, you should go with the original price. We should interpret it as stringent, not as lenient. So rather, the Gemara gives a different interpretation. Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak, he says as follows. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Im Oid Rabbeis Bashanim, if there is an increase in the years, and that's where the deek is going to be, as the Gemara is going to later on explain, with the word bashanim in the years. Now, Uksiv, it also says in the Pasuk, Im Ma'at Nishir Bashanim, if there's a little bit left in the years, which is that if there's going to be, according to the years, that's how you calculate regarding the redemption. Now, the difficulty in this pasuk is, what are there years that have a lot and there are years that have a little? Means to say that one year should be a more value than the other year, with a pasuk saying, if there's a lot in the year or there's years that have less than the years, what does the pasuk mean? Ella rather says of Nachman Yitzchok, he says what the pasuk is saying is as follows. Is Nisraba Kaspai, if there's an increase in the monetary value in the year that it's in right now, for example, if it increased in value, then the pasuk is saying, Yashab Gulasai, so the redemption is going to be Mikesev Miknasai, from the amount that he was purchased for. In other words, you're only going to calculate according to how much it was sold for, which that is the cheap original price that it was sold for, because only now did it go up. Whereas Nismaid Kaspai, but if the value actually went down right now, if it diminished in value, that's what it's saying, Kefi Shanav, according to the years, that's which it is right now, that's what Yashab Eskulasa is going to do the redemption right now, and that's what the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk is saying, and these are the words that actually match up exactly, where according to the where it says, Im Oid Rabis Bashanim, that's what it says, Mekesa Meknasai. And it says, Ma'at Nishu Bashanim, that's what it says, Kefi Shanav. So that's exactly what we're saying, that what do you mean bashanim? And that's what the Gemara is going to clarify right now. In the year itself, which is the value it currently has, it could have a higher value or lower value. If it has a higher value right now, this Ramba Kasboy, then we're going to go with the original Mekasa Meknasi. If that's a low one right now, we're going to go kifishanim, how he is right now. Now, the Gemara continues to ask, however, ve'ema, but maybe say the Pasuk is saying as follows. No, maybe it's literally. That's saying if there's a lot of years or a little years, it means to say, if he only worked 2 years, and he still has 4 years left to the Yevil year, so then he should have to give 4 years worth, which was left, to how much he was able to have as the consumer for 4 years worth. Then it's going to be, according to the amount that it was, how much the calculation was when he bought him. That's im rabbis basham, there's still many years left in the contract. But if he already worked with it 4 years and there's only 2 years left, then he should give the two remaining years according to its current value right now. How much, in other words, but it should go according to how much the years that he has to work for him, but it's not talking about that if it went up in value, went down in value. Maybe it's literally talking about how many years are left in the contract. If there's many years left, then we'll go Mekesa Magnasi. If there's few years left, then we'll go Kefishanav. How do you know to say, as we were interpreting it, that according to its value? So M. Cain says the Gemara, but if that was the interpretation, like you're saying, Nichtiv Imoid Rabbis Shanim, it should say if there's many years left. My Bashanim, what's in the years? What does that mean? Rather, Nisraba Kaspoi Bashanim, if there was an increase in its monetary value in the years, which means to say that the value went up, Mikasa Meknasa, then you're going to go with the original price at how much it was purchased for. Nismaid Kaspoi Bashanim, if the value of the year went down, meaning in the year it's less, if he's shunned, then you're going to go according to the years, how much it is right now. That's the source for these halachas that we're saying with the Ebed Ivri and the Steach Huzi, that we go with the more lenient interpretation. Rav Yisrael, he says, Darshin Rav Nachman, Hanik Karki Sinai. Rav Nachman expounds these psukim like Sinai, meaning as so clear as they were given from Har Sinai. Yeah, if you read the psukim with precision, that's what you're going to have to say. Bashanim, what does it mean in the years? The years either have more value or less value, and that's going to tell us, which ends up being clearly the lean interpretation, that if it was higher value then, it's going to be cheaper now, and if it's higher value now, then you're going to go with Mekes Meknasai that originally was. Now, the Mishnah continued with other limitations regarding the redemption of buying back a field of a steachuzah that he sold to someone else. So the Mishnah said, Loyim kebarachik v'chuli, he can't sell what he has far to be able to redeem what's close, bad, what's good, and so on. So the Gemara said, Menon mili, where do we know these halachas from? Says the Gemara, the Tanabana, because learned in the Braisa. Pasuk says, in Vayikra, and the Pasuk says that if someone's going to sell something to, if he doesn't have a redeemer, but Vesigiyada, he ends up getting enough money to go ahead and redeem his field, Then he could go ahead and buy it back. I mean, he originally sold because he didn't have anything to, and no one could give him any money. So he sold it, but if he could, then he attains the cash, he go ahead and buy it back. Now, but it says, V'sigi yadoi, his hand attains, which is Yad Atzma himself, Shalayiva V'yigo. Like one of the halachas of the Mishnah, he can't borrow money to go ahead and redeem his field. Moreover, the pasuk continues says, U'matza, and he finds, Kedegu Lasa, he finds, Pratla Matza, that excludes if he already had this, meaning, Shalim Kebarachik V'yigo Bakar. Which means, say, if he already had that cash ability, which is another field, that's not good. It has to be something you didn't have up until now. So you can't sell your field that's far v'igal b'karvin to redeem what's near, b'rav v'igal b'yafa, to sell a bad field that you have to redeem a good one. Moreover, the pasuk says, what did he find? He found k'dei gu'ulasi, the amount to be able to redeem his field. What it means to say is k'dei gu'ulahu goyel. It's only if he has enough to redeem the whole thing, then he can redeem it v'ein goyel ha'chatzim, but he cannot redeem halfway. Now, regarding one of the interpretations, the Gemara says, lememer the matzah, does that mean to say, when we said, that means if he finds now money to buy it back, in contrast, if he always had, which is just, he never sold to his field, that he's not allowed to come on to. So it sounds like that, you're saying the matzah is hash the mashma, it sounds like only if he finds it right now. It's excluding something that he already had before. But for min, that seems to be contradictive in the following brisa, that seems to interpret umatzah exactly the opposite. The pasuk in the Devarim that says umatzah, that if someone is chopping wood in the forest, and it says umatza esre'eu v'meis, and where he's chopping and the axe or the tree, the wood flies out, and it finds his friend, and his friend dies, where his friend was there from the moment that he really lifted up his axe to go ahead and chop, so then he's liable for having killed his friend. Now, but that tells us, says the Braisa, prat lamamtzi atzmai, that excludes if this friend himself makes himself found, where then the one who killed him is exempt from killing him, meaning he doesn't have to go into exile for having killed him. Mekanam Rebelezem, from here Rebelezem says the following idea. If, from when this person threw the stone, then this person stuck on his head and now then it hit him and it killed him, so Pata is exempt. Because it has to be that the person was always there. If the person came into the picture after this person already had the projectiles flying, then the person's exempt from having killed him. But one thing says the Gemara, Alma Matzah, so we see that to the contrary, that this in this pasuk Matzah means to say, Midi de isi mikar mashma, that it finds the friend who was already there from before, because to the contrary, if he actually comes into the picture after, he's actually exempt. That's exactly the opposite of what we just said, that a Matzah has to be only now and not what was there before. So the Rabbi says, not difficult. Here we go from the context of the pasuk. And here we're going from the context of the pasuk. You have to interpret it based on the contextual comprehension of what the pasuk is talking about. And that is, hach over here by the redeeming of the field, we compare it to what the pasuk says of it that his hand is attaining cash to buy back the field, which is just like over here where he's attaining money is right now, because most definitely when he sold the field, he didn't have the money, and because that's what the pasuk says, he had no money, that's why he sold his ancestral field. So obviously he didn't have it then. So when we're saying that he finds, it also means that it's finding right now. Whereas v'hacha dumidiyar, the halacha of having killed someone by mistake, it's also similar to the forest, which is the context that we're comparing it to, which that's what the pasuk is told me, that he's chopping wood in the forest. Ma yar milsa de isim ikar, just like the forest is something that was always there, af matza milsa de isim ikar, so too, having found the person, meaning that the axe finds the person that it kills, it's also something that was there from before, in contrast where it's excluding if he comes into the picture afterwards, that then actually he's going to be exempt. The Mishnah had said, "Ube hektish v'chulu," but by hektish, all these things are permitted. So the Gemara, "Manan mili," where do we know this from? So the Tanabon, because we learned the Braisa, the pasuk is beyikra v'im goyel yigoyel, which is the pasuk if someone wants to redeem the hektish item. So the redundancy of redemption comes to include redemptions. Melamed shalav v'goyel. This teaches that he could even borrow and redeem v'goyel lechatzon, and he could even redeem halfway. Meaning, here the leniencies are greater regarding redemption. And Rav Shimni says, Matam, he says, so what's the reason? Why are we more lenient regarding the redemption of Hektish versus the sale of the Sdei Achuza to another person? He says, Lafisha Mitzinuka says, because we find, B'meicher Sdei Achuza Sheyot Pekayichai. We find that when someone sells his ancestral field to another person, he has a greater strength. Why? Shemegia Yevul L'Nigula, because it becomes a Yevul year and he hasn't redeemed it from his friend, Chazer's L'Bayim B'Yevul. It goes back automatically to the owner in the Yevul year. So therefore, Hayra Kaycha, so in this context, it actually has a weaker strength. To even it out, she'ain a life of a girl. He cannot borrow and redeem. Being a girl like a tzayin, he can't redeem halfway. Because, anyways, if he doesn't redeem it, Yevul is going to go back to him. But if someone sanctifies his ancestral field, since he has a weaker strength, because if it reaches the Yevul and he didn't redeem it, it's like a Hanim, it goes into the Hanim, it's lost from him forever. So he has the greatest strength that he could be able to redeem it before Yevul, that he could borrow and redeem, and he could redeem halfway. Now the Gemara continues the Tabalam and Alpha and Alpha and concludes this discussion by asking as follows. Tana Chada, we learned in one brisa regarding someone who sanctifies his ancestral field, that love of a goyel, b'goyel lechatzen, like we said, he could borrow and redeem, he could redeem halfway, but yet v'tani d'chol, we learned another brisa in that same halacha of someone who's makdash de'achuza, that ain't a life of goyel, he cannot borrow and redeem, v'ain a goyel lechatzen, he cannot redeem halfway. Tosh Gemara says, lekash, not difficult. Harabbanan, the brisa says he cannot, adar rabbanan, v'har Reb Shimon. And but the one that says, which was the Bryce recorded before, that says imgol yigol, if you an extra terminology of redemption, which teaches you gabar and redeem, that's Reb Shimon, who he explained the reasoning that we're more lenient by Hekdesh, whereas the other Bryce that says that it's forbidden are like the Rabban who disagree with him, and they say no, that the same limitations that apply to selling it to Hadid also apply to someone to redeem it from Hekdesh.